Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all that He's doing, the way He's moving by His Spirit. He loves His people. You know, God is for you. He is for us. Even those that do wrong. He even loves, you know that if He's good to the wicked, He's good to you. He loves people that don't love Him. He loves the cold people and the lukewarm people. But He's going to spit out the lukewarm because they spit out Him. In every relationship, relationships are built on trust and honor. And when those people that love God, they love His ways, they love His people, they will be faithful to Him, just like He's faithful to us. Before Jesus died, He gave His disciples a commandment to love like He does. Now He waited because we talked about it in Sunday school yesterday. We didn't have a reference for that kind of love. And He knew that the Holy Spirit would bring it back to our attention, to the disciples' attention. That He would show them all the things that they were, that everything that Jesus taught them that they couldn't receive, the Holy Spirit would make it plain. And He did. And we're learning to operate on the same kind of love that God loves us with. There's no limit to how much we can grow in that love. That's up to us. Jesus once said that a person that is forgiven much will love God much. And that's true. And some people did more than I did in the world. When I was in the world, I did my share. But some people did a lot worse. Some have even killed people. And the Lord forgives them. And He's just to do it. He turns them into a new man or a new woman. And they've been forgiven much. Just like the prostitute that got caught. They wanted to stone her. And when Jesus said, let those of you that are without sin cast the first stone. The oldest people left first because they did the most sin. They lived the longest. They had more time to do wrong. And they did. And they left first, one at a time. Their pride took a back seat. See, pride will kill. Pride is fine with somebody looking down while you look up. You know, pride wants people to look at it. That's that contrary desire that wants honor from people that's not deserved. And they left first, and she was there alone. She knew she was wrong, and all Jesus said to her is, "Go and sin no more." And that's how we don't need to sin. If we sin, we're gonna have problems. Problems come from sin. But those who have sinned a lot, or they've been forgiven a lot, they do love God more. They cherish God. That the revelation that God loves them sincerely is a vivid picture to them. It's strong to them. That love is strong. They knew that they were wrong, and it's a strong revelation to them that God does truly love them. And then they wonder why. And they want to serve God. They want to do it right. Now, though I didn't do some of the things that others did, I did wrong. And I knew God forgave me. Some people would have said, well, that ain't much. It's much. But I realized that others have been forgiven no more. So I said, Lord, I want to love You more than I do. And I said, teach me how to love Your people. Because the way we love God is the way we love man. And as He taught me things about, I decided to love people. I forgave everybody I could think of. You know, my family is, we live in the South. And my ancestors were slaves. So I forgave the people who had them in slavery. I thought of every worst case scenario, everybody that, everything that was just wrong. Slavery is wrong, especially, now debt slavery is not, because you agree, you have an agreement, you got to work that off. If you use credit cards, then you're responsible to pay that back. Now they don't tell you where to live, and they don't control your life, and they can't sell you, but they can sell your debt. If you own a house, they can sell your mortgage to somebody else, and you got to pay them. Now that's not wrong, because you decided to do that, and that's not the best. That's not God's best, but it's better than paying rent. But forced slavery, when they take you out of your country and bring you to somewhere you've never been and make you work for them for free, that's not right. And it was wrong. And the story, Roots gave us a picture of it, how bad it was. And a lot of people have gotten into strife and hatred because of it. Well, that was the mindset of the day, and it was wrong. Very wrong. But people that God requires us to forgive people that did us wrong. So I forgave all the people that had my family in slavery. And I meant it. Everybody that hates me, I forgave them too. And it benefited me. I saw things a lot different. And the fear left. Because when you're in strife, And you're not you that you, you know when you hold animosity, a lot of other things come with it. And so the more I loved man, the less I feared man. You know, when I used to ride my motorcycle through the neighborhood, some guys they looked like they'd do anything. So you didn't ride too close to them, especially if it was a lot of them. And when I was a kid, you know, growing up, some of them I was afraid to go around. Now, if they bothered me, I'd fight, but I wanted to avoid it if possible. But I was still afraid of them. But after learning God and learning to love people, that kind of fear left. And when I go around people, there's no fear. And I can talk to them without fear. And sometimes people get surprised because they think you're afraid of them, and you're not. Perfect love casts out fear. In other words, the love of God is perfect love. If you love people enough to do something for them, to help them, that kind of love casts out fear. It solves conflicts. It helps people see the Lord. You're required to represent God. When people are... I used to live across the street from the drug dealers live right across the street. And sometimes they'd block they'd park in front of my gate. Somebody visiting, I'd just walk over there and ask them to move the car. As if I wasn't afraid of it. And they say, they apologize, they come move the car. And then the people that own the house will fuss at them. Don't ever block that gate, you know. Fear. You don't have to fear people. But perfect love casts it out. And fear is a challenge to get rid of. But perfect love casts it out. But the theme of what I'm saying is, the way there's no limit to how much you can love, even if you was a goody two-shoes in the world. You know, you didn't go out and do all the crazy stuff. Thank God for it. But the revelation of how much God loves you is yet to be found. And once you receive that revelation, you can love God just as much as you want to. The more you spend time talking to him, the more you will understand him, and the more you will love him for who he is. Not just because of what he's done for you. Every time I learn something about the Lord, I love him even more because I know more about him. I have more knowledge, more revelation. And seeking first the kingdom of God, that keeps you in the perfect flow of reception because you're continually sowing. So you got to reap what you sow. When you're going about the day in love with God, doing what's right, because it's right, it puts you on. You are sowing seeds of love all day long. You're helping people see. You're helping people come to the Lord. You're changing their direction. And when their direction is changed, they start doing what you do. You're giving them a living visual of who God is. And you don't even realize it. You're more valuable to the company. You solve people's doubts. The production goes up. And the bosses, they're thanking God for you. If you're not there, they get nervous. When you go on vacation, they get nervous. Because they want you around. Your mannerisms, your dedication to God helps people see light and walk out of darkness. Did you know that when people see you live, whatever they were doing that ain't right, you know, thieves stop stealing. People start doing what's honorable and not just what's good for them. They see the value in doing things the right way. Because Satan gave them a false opinion of God. And they didn't see the value in washing their brother's feet. They didn't see the value of putting other people first sometimes. They didn't see the value in not confronting people for every little thing. They didn't see the value of being kind when people are not kind to you. They didn't see the value in working as under God. I mean, in these days, when you go places, you see people standing around. They move so slow, like they don't care about your time. They don't. Some of them haven't taken time to learn the job well. And it doesn't make sense to ask people where something is in most stores because they don't know. They may, even if they stock the shelves, they don't know. You just have to find it. Because people don't put their heart in their work. Some people do. There are some dedicated people. There's a lot of dedicated people. But there's a lot more people out there that just don't care. And they're not going to care. And they're mad because they don't make as much money, but they didn't take time to learn an education. And then they'll see somebody get promoted because the boss likes them. All kind of injustices happen out there. And it caused people to be bitter. But when we love each other, it breaks that challenge. As we walk in love, it turns the lights on. And as you continue in the wisdom of God and living by His principles, you're the game changer now. You're the salt. This is how the salt works. You're not just salt because you got saved. You're the salt because you live saved. And the light is. You know, the healing process began in you, and it gets into the way you think and the way you are. And then you live by the light. Now, when some people try to, they don't want to cause a confrontation. The light of God is a living confrontation. But it's a confrontation to what's right. Even though you don't go around preaching and telling people what to do, you're showing them what to do. You really don't have to tell them what to do. You can warn them about how things are going to turn out if they trust in you. And you do that if you do it at the right time, and the strategy of the Holy Spirit, it will work better. But if you go around telling people how to live, that's offensive to them. But if you see, the Lord didn't tell us to do that. He put His life in us. And when we live it, they see plainly what to do. And proud people will get mad because you're exposing them. And they don't want to be exposed. But you're doing it for their own good. When you do right and others do wrong, you're doing it for their own good, whether they believe it or not. Because it's giving them a fair chance to know that there's something better than they're used to. That God loves them too. Your kindness suggests that God loves them too. Your kindness and your healing, the whole healing process suggests that God loves you, just like He this is His love towards me. And when you live that way and represent Him right, then they begin to realize it. And it's important. It's important for everybody to know that God loves them, that they matter to Him, and He's concerned about them. So, the handiwork of the Holy Spirit is made known by His love. That's the very first step. So, with that in mind, as you walk in love and you consider the love of God and you're thinking about Him, He's going to talk to you. And when He talks to you, jump on it. Be very faithful. Be quick to believe Him. You'll go so much further in life if you'll be quick to believe God. Sometimes He's introducing you to something better. Stay in faith about what He's saying. And don't allow people to talk you out of it. Because everybody don't want to change. Some people want to, they'll rather do what they're doing. They'll rather believe like they're believing. They'll rather act on their impulses. They feel like they're being cheated if they stop. And they need time around people that love God so that the life of God, they can see it. And then they need somebody to speak by the anointing so it can break the yokes of bondage that they can't see. See, a lot of times people are, they don't know that sin has trapped them. They never tried to stop. You won't realize you was trapped until you try to stop. If you're having an affair and you're trapped, you don't know it until you try to stop. If you're doing anything, if you're stealing, if you found a way to steal from the company and they're not catching you, that don't mean that they don't know it. But let's say they don't know it. And you say, well, this is wrong. And you try to stop. It's not easy to stop once you start. Sin is what the enemy uses to gain the mastery of us. Because if you sin, you end up serving sin. Sin dominates your thoughts. You start depending on it. It looks like an easy path, but it's a deadly path that's camouflaged to be easy. But when you try to stop it, it's hard. It's like trying to stop a train with roller skates. You need the anointing to break the yoke so that you can stop. You need prayer. You need the help of God. But when you get saved, you can stop. With a sin nature, it's not happening. So the best thing for sinners not to do is start sinning. If they ever start, it's hard to stop. You know, I had friends, they used profanity. And for a long time, I didn't. Then when I started, I couldn't stop. It became a stronghold. After I got saved, it was a habit. I started doing better and better, but it was still in my habit system. And I kept praying about it. I said, Lord, I don't want to talk like that anymore. Words would slip out, especially if I got upset. And I didn't want to talk like that. But when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it fell off my life. The anointing breaks the yokes. The enemy didn't have anything left to hold me back with. And that was the strongest thing he had, the way I spoke. And he did his best to keep that in my life. But I kept praying and believing God until it was gone. I wanted it gone. And if thoughts like that come to mind, speak against it. Anything that was a hardship for you to deal with, you have to speak the word of God. You have to say something about it. That's how when I want to change something, James chapter 3, it talks about the tongue being the rudder of the ship. And it shows us a small part of the ship, the rudder, can turn that big old ship in the ocean. And it's amazing. It was amazing to the writer in Proverbs. He said, three things are too wonderful for me. The way of a ship in the ocean, a bird, an eagle in the air, and the way of a man with a maid. They are, those are things that's just interesting. How things turn out. Now, but the tongue can turn that big old ship, just like your tongue. What you speak, it changes your destiny. It changes things that are into what you desire them to be. You have to speak the words of God. The words of God gets in your heart. You speak God's word with your mouth, it grows in your heart when you speak it. And you're challenging the world. You're telling the world no, and you're telling God yes. You're telling the world no. You're telling heaven yes. You're putting a demand in the world. See, when you speak life in the world, you're giving heaven the right to be here. When you tell that storm, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, that's God's will on earth. God's will is coming to earth to stop the storm. When you tell Satan to stop, heaven's then the protection of heaven surrounds you. See, the shield of faith is not just like a piece of metal that you hold in front of your chest. Your shield of faith is like a bubble, and it can be anywhere and any time. You can shield your people in other countries, even if you have people fighting in Afghanistan or anywhere. You can shield them with your faith. Lord, bring my son home alive. Satan, you can't kill my son. You can't kill my daughter. The spirit of death won't work on them. You can speak the word of God, and then you'll have heaven's protection. And you do it often. You do it as often as you feel that you need to. You that was a platoon, and every day they read Psalm 91. And they spoke it over their lives in World War II. And none of them got killed. All of them survived World War II. And that was uncommon, to be in the heat of battle like they were. But they spoke something. And it's the Lord's will that it be on earth as it is in heaven. And when it's that way, then we can go forward. It's nothing is, your life, many Christians treat their lives as if everything is up to God. What they're doing is leaving it up to happenstance. And they're struggling within the mercy of God. Their life is a continual struggle. And the most dangerous thing don't happen because of the mercy of God, not because of what they say. And then they curse themselves. They say, that's just my kind of luck. As if God put a doom on them. God don't put dooms on people. You're in the habit of cursing, of not believing right. You're in the habit of speaking foolish things. You have to speak life, even if you don't believe it. And the more you speak that death, the more it'll seem that way. And the enemy's going to tag your life. He's going to aggravate you. And the most unusual thing is spiritual. This is a spiritual world. You can't just live naturally. You got to live spiritually. And so does others. In ministry, if when God gives you something to do, destroy every challenge, all of them. Be in the habit of doing everything God's way. Speak life in every part and aspect of your ministry. Speak life over your family. Even when they're doing dumb stuff, speak life on your family. Speak words of protection. Speak the will of heaven towards them, which is the word of God. And destroy the works of darkness, the contrary persuasions of the world. Destroy it. And you'll see them do better and better. Before our people get saved, they don't realize how much danger they're in. And they make choices while they're out there doing things according to the world. Now, everybody that goes to church understands that every member of the family don't always do right. Because everybody comes from a family. And most families don't, they have contrary family members. They won't go to church. They won't listen. They're good people. They're good, they're fun to be around. And they do dumb stuff. But we just love them. Well, everybody got family and people like that. So don't feel bad when they come to church. Don't feel bad when they come around. Everything of God is out front and open. To be honest with you, there's no such thing as a real secret. Secrets are short-lived. Now, everything that God does, he don't tell his enemies what he tells his friends. Because that's smart. He don't tell his known enemies what he tell his people, his children, his friends. He don't tell Christians that half love him things that he tell Christians that truly love him. Because it's not wise, because it's stupid to do something like that. Because some people talk too much. They have no restraint, and they talk too much. And they make a mess with things that they shouldn't make a mess with. But eventually, everybody's going to see what God is doing. Just like Nehemiah's wall. When he started building that wall, they thought they meddled him. He had to build it with a sword in one hand and tools in the other. And they got the wall built. And then they all felt small in their eyes because they did something of God. And it was good. And it was strong. And see, a wall gives a city an advantage. It gives them an advantage. Until they made the airplane. After the airplane was invented, then all walls were almost virtually useless, except for if you don't have an airplane. But back then, nobody had an airplane. If you built a wall, you could thrive and prosper. China's got the most population in the whole world, but they built a great wall. And they didn't have a problem with people invading. They could live in peace. And once they had leadership that didn't divide each other, then they built a wall and they lived in peace. They're very smart people. I want to see them get saved. I know they have communist leaders that don't love God, but I would love to see, people that love peace like that get saved. And a lot of them do. They have an underground church. Some of the most dedicated people in the world. We have to look at what God is doing and join him. We have to look at what he's doing and join him. And all the opposition, the enemy's going to dispatch them towards you. That he, anything he can get away with. So you have to speak words to protect what you're doing. One of the worst things people, one of the worst mistakes people make is when God tells them to do something, they go tell all their friends. Well, guess what friends do? They start talking. Whatever, I learned to do it this way. Whatever assignment God give me, you tell people when God tell you to tell them. Sometimes my assignments come with instructions. And I try to stick to those instructions. And it's important. Spending time with the Lord to help you understand what he's doing and how to do what you're doing. The love of God is there, and he will help you do everything according to that perfect love. So the theme is love. And when the Lord speaks, you can see what he's saying because of the love of God. But once he speaks, jump on it. Receive what he's saying. Speak it into your life and protect it. You have to protect your dedication. Because Satan is after. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move by his spirit in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.